Friday was a meaningful day in the video world. I don't know how many of you know that, picked up the news, because some customer was the very last person to receive a DVD from Netflix on Friday. Friday was the last day that Netflix mailed out DVDs, right? And I don't know if you ever got their DVD mail service. Maybe you just weren't, you know, been around that long. You know, I can remember when Greta and I first got married, and it was before Netflix, and we would go to Movies Unlimited over there in on Church Avenue, well, it used to be in Mount Laurel, and we would get their weekend deal. You got a backpack. You literally rented the backpack, and it came with a VCR player and two VHS tapes, or VHS player, two VHS tapes, and a box of popcorn. And that would be our weekend, you know, 10 bucks for two movies and some popcorn. But eventually we got a DVD player. And eventually we signed up for Netflix. And eventually I was fighting my kids as they kept trying to put their movies higher on the queue than mine if you did the DVD thing with Netflix. But it's over, right? The DVDs are done. Like, life changes with technology. Sometimes when you think about your life and you think about what changes you experience, one of the ones that stands out to me, like the most significant early in life, was Dad, when you bought some window air conditioners. We didn't have air conditioning in our house. And my dad, I remember when I don't know, I picture myself 10, 11, I don't know. But when we got a window air conditioner in our bedroom, my three brothers and I, two bunk beds in the bedroom, we were only allowed to put it on at night. You weren't allowed to have it on in the daytime, go outside and play. But at nighttime, we slept with cool air blowing on us. And I think my memory is by the morning, the air conditioning was usually frozen, and then we had to unplug it. You know? I remember when we got a cordless phone, right? Again, I'm talking to some of you who are in, you know, before that, you used to, believe it or not, you used to have to stand by the phone, right? And I remember we got the long cord. So you would sometimes go to the phone, and the cord would be going all the way along the dining room wall, wrapped around into the hallway, and there would be Kathy maybe on the phone curled down, or maybe someone else. But we got the cordless phone, right? Obviously, things change. For me, honestly, if you ask me, the biggest, and somebody may say the internet, but I'm putting it kind of together with this, the smartphone, the cell phone, has so dramatically changed life. I mean, we know that. To be able to have a device with you that you can call anybody from anywhere, you can get directions, you can orchestrate your life from this little guy. It's dramatic, if you ask me, the most dramatic change of technology in life. Now, some of you, I don't know, maybe you would say, I remember when we got electricity in our house. Maybe you were more rural or something, and that would be dramatic. But think of the changes in your life, put them all together, and they don't come close to the change that happened. It's funny the way the service, you know, my sermon began, but to the change that happened when God said, let there be light, and there was light. We've been doing a series on God's amazing creation. It's a wonderful life, wonderful world. Wow, the ability to remember. God gave us that ability, the ability to taste the seasons, just all these amazing things God designed that make us go, wow. But also they point us to deeper truth. And today we want to look at the impact of light. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can turn to your living word. Thank you that we can see each other. And may we pause in this moment to be reminded that it is only because you have designed that. And we ask that through it, you might show us some valuable spiritual light as well today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, in the beginning of Genesis, if I asked you, where did God say, let there be light? Most of you would probably be able to say, well, probably in the very beginning, right? And indeed, he did. In Genesis chapter 1, we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, verse 1. Verse 2, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And there are many theologians, Bible teachers, who would say something happened between verse 1 and 2. And was that when Satan fell? Was what's going on? What's happening? How much time? And the reason nobody has an answer is because nobody was there. We don't have any eyewitnesses from that, right? But in verse 3, we read, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, the darkness he called night, and there was evening and there was morning one day." Dr. Tony Evans shares these words, "God made the light, but he also named it. God called the light day. By naming the parts of creation, God expresses sovereign rule over them. Even the concept of light, which is fundamental to our world, only exists because God sustains it." What is that, right? You know, we can look up the definition. Britannica says, "Light energy is a form of electromagnetic radiation of a wavelength which can be seen by the human eye. Light consists of photons which are produced when an object's atoms heat up." You know, we can learn the science. I'm not going to break it down. Last week we got into the quarks, you know, of atoms and all. Today, mankind throughout our history, no doubt, was, we're sure glad it's here. The early Greek philosophers, including Plato, they felt that light came from within your eye. That it was as you looked at something that your eye provided the light to observe it. Obviously, centuries later, Isaac Newton, he said that light was made up of many particles. Different types of particles were different colors, right? And then Robert Hooke in the 1600s was a British physicist. He spoke of light waves, which Albert Einstein, Max Planck, and these aren't, again, we don't have to remember this, with their quantum theory that light is small pouches of energy. My point is, as God created, he created this world. You know, Psalm 19 says, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God. Get to know them more and more and more and study and search and see the expanse and the incredible. And just wow, and give God praise. The earth speaks out day after day. Paul said there's so much evidence packed in there, and it wasn't all evidence that Adam knew. We know more than he knew because we've searched it and studied God's creation and say, wow, look what he's done. But it's to impact us and to lead us to his truth, right? Modern physicists believe that light can behave as both a particle and a wave, but they also recognize that either view is a very simple explanation for something far more complex. In other words, how could we possibly expect human beings to be able to tell us where light came from when it was designed by God? Nobody was here when God turned the lights on. They weren't. And when God said it, all we know is we see the value of it, right? Even a simple example in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who came to earth and became human flesh, God in flesh. His humanity was impacted by what? By the presence of light. In Luke 15, what's he say in verse 8? "What woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it?" Light is something in our lives that does what? It makes a difference. That's what we kind of observe the most. It sure makes a difference. It's so different that the phrase has become a phrase that we use to emphasize differences. You know, they came out in the first half and the team was terrible. But in the second half, it was like what? Night and day. The difference between night and day. Oh man, when they got to work this morning, they were in such a horrible mood. But by lunchtime, it was like night and day. The difference in them. You know, that we use that phrase. Why? Because what a difference between light and darkness. One scientific website says no single answer to the question, what is light, can satisfy the many contexts in which light is experienced. But we want to look at a few of them, right? Because that's really, we could sit here and say, okay, let's, where does it come from? How's it, and it's God spoken into existence. But really, light is something that we experience in many different contexts. And as we do in the physical world and say, wow, what a God. Special revelation of Jesus in Scripture points us to how we see it in the spiritual world. The first thing being this, light first and foremost provides what? Life. Light provides life. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, when we read there that God said, let there be light, we understand why it was important that that came before verse 11, when God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, right? That God had turned the light on that was necessary, we know, for the life of vegetation to be sustained. It's essential. One of the things we learn about, right? Photosynthesis, the process of that. The plants take what? Light. And they use the energy to break down water into electrons and protons and oxygen. During the process, carbon dioxide is pulled from the environment and used by the plant. And the result, of course, is the plant releases new oxygen back into our environment. And it's amazing what, the creators of science have done. No, it's God. I mean, what I mean is it's God. We look and we go, wow, that just came from his mind. He decided this is how the plants are going to use light and break it down. And ultimately, photosynthesis produces energy in our food, which we need. And without light, it's not there. Life, light provides life. And boy, when I think about God's creation of light, how it points me to the special revelation of Scripture. When John is speaking about the coming of Jesus to the earth, the eternal Son of God becoming a human being, what does he say in John chapter 1 and verse 4? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so it is that Jesus, in his ministry, proclaims in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. It's what Jesus calls us to. You are in darkness, spiritual darkness, if you have not come to Christ. Oh, you know, what a difference it makes when God turns the light on. The Apostle Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when he describes that moment that you may have, and I pray if you haven't, you will, come to faith in Jesus, because he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's my prayer for you. Whether you're sitting here today, whether you're watching somewhere, I don't know where, online, my prayer is that you've heard God say, let there be light in your heart. You have heard the Spirit opening up your heart and letting the light of Christ shine in, and you have come to that place of saying, I see the light of the world who came to get me out of the spiritual darkness. You came to sacrifice your body, give your blood on the cross to redeem me. It's so important. Listen, understand what Scripture's saying there, because there is darkness. And I say this very soberly. There are portions of Scripture that make it clear to us that you have a lifetime if you choose to turn to Jesus, the light of the world, to rescue you. It could be in your last hours, but you don't know when they're going to be. come to the light of the world, because there is a time coming that Scripture says where there are individuals who have rejected the light of Christ are going to be standing before Almighty God, and He sends them into what Scripture refers to as the outer darkness. It is a thought that is too horrible to consider, but it's something that you need to consider. Because Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Apart from Him, I was walking in darkness, but He gave me new life. Oh, come to the life that you have through the light of the world. Light provides life, but light also provides what? Freedom. Freedom from many things. Freedom from fear. What does the psalmist refer to? Just a simple human reality. Maybe for some of us more than others. But in Psalm 91, right? In Psalm 91, we read in verse 5, you will not be afraid of the terror by night. Now, I was someone, not as much anymore, but I was terrified by the dark. I was. Now, the advantage was I had, as I said, I had three brothers. We shared bunk beds. We were in the same room. You know, if they're going to get me, they're going to get them too, or whatever, you know, like that. You know, but I can remember those rare occasions where my dad would say, Vincent, you're going to bed early tonight, and send me to my room and close the door. Well, I got to tell you, that, I mean it. Like, that was to be sitting in the room with the door shut was terrifying for me. And I can remember getting up out of bed, slowly walking to the door, turning the knob as quietly as I could, and just cracking the door enough that a beam of light would now be on me in bed. Oh, there, I mean it. I can feel it right now, all these years later, that sense of, okay, because that light was connecting me to all the life that was going on out there. I've got some light on me, and it made a difference for me. Light for something. Now, maybe not for you. Maybe you're like, you know, you were just a wimp or whatever, but not you, me. But it made a huge difference. Light makes a difference. It gives us freedom from fear, freedom from stumbling. I can remember times when, I don't know which one of you, right, but I can remember, you know, when, you know, during one of those storms, it's dark outside, and all of a sudden, all the power went out, and the whole house went dark in a moment. As a parent, you've probably experienced that, and I can remember hearing my kids, and I'm coming, oh, I'm, you know, and you're trying to balance safety, right, with getting to them, and so I'm using my voice. Listening to my voice, it's gonna get closer to you or whatever. You know, if you slept over our house nowadays, Greta can tell you, in the middle of the night, you're gonna hear shh, 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 shh. Because when I have to go in the middle of the night, I drag my feet. I'm not tripping over anything and ending my life, so I just shuffle, and I shuffle too. I'm safe, and we'll leave that one alone, right? But the fear of what? Stumbling. The freedom from it. Life gives us that. Light does. I mean, think about the passage. I don't know if you're familiar with it in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 10, during that time where God is working on Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go. And what happens with God's hand on the situation in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21, we read, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. Now Israel had, they had light. But we can picture it. They're not moving. They literally can't see their hand in front of them, right? To be in that kind of darkness where no freedom. Again, general revelation. Wow. Well, if light gives me freedom from the fear of dark, what does the light of God do? Well, the psalmist tells us, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You could be in a situation where just darkness seems to be prevailing all around you. But to be able to realize, wait a minute, I am a follower of the light of the world. He lives in me. No need to fear, right? The freedom. Think about a wonderful verse. I love this passage in 1 John because John is saying to us, listen, here's a reality. When you come to faith in Christ, you will not live the rest of your life perfectly. And Satan's going to want to bury you in a grave of shame and guilt every time you stumble. But let me tell you, honesty before God will set you free, right? But letting God's light, and what does he say? He talks about that you know, if you sin, don't say you've never sinned because you're lying. If you sin, confess it. I'm writing so that you don't sin, but if you do, we have an incredible advocate. But what does he say in verse 7? I love this verse, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. In other words, if I get up in the morning and say, oh, dear Lord, I said this yesterday morning, and I wasn't perfect, and I probably won't be perfect today. I may stumble. But, Lord, I place myself in your light. Lord, let me abide in you, as Jesus said in the vine. Let me walk in your light. Lord, let your light see all of me. Let it see how I'm dealing with others. Let it see what the attitudes of my heart are. Let your light expose everything. And when you do that, there is such a freedom to be able to walk and say, okay, Lord. And if you then stumble, he says what? By walking in the light, it causes you to turn to his forgiveness and just to that continual ability. Wow. You know, a day is coming for each of us. It may not come exactly the same way. If the Lord comes to call us, it's going to be the same for us to go with him if we're his children. But I'm talking about that day when, for some it may be sudden, but for many of us, there's going to be a day that we realize we are in our last days, our last hours. And it's good to think about that day. Matter of fact, Solomon tells us too. Because I want that day when I'm laying there knowing that I'm hours away from heaven. I want it to be that I'm laying there saying, thank you, Lord. Not perfectly, not absolutely better every day than the one before, but general that I have lived my life walking in the light. And that there will be a freedom and a peace on that day. I'm about to see Jesus in light that I've never seen before, but oh, to walk in the light. You know, to say to God, Lord, I've started closing some doors to you. I want to open them. I want your light to give me freedom that I can walk in. Light provides direction. Lets us know where to go, right? I've said before, there's tremendous, I'm going to say, gift, advantage to pastoring a church in your hometown. I everywhere I walk, I'm being reminded of part of my journey with Jesus, right? But when I go down, you know, I walk at night now, and it doesn't scare me to walk down a dark street. I might jingle my keys in case there's a dog around or something. But you know, but as I walk, right, I can remember walking down Spruce Avenue. I can remember going down Spruce, and when I got to Center Avenue, I would always stop because there was a big street light there. And I'm telling you, if I go back 50 years and I'm 12, I can still feel myself, okay. Because there wasn't another street light until about halfway down the block at the Mangione's house. And for some reason, the people who lived, none of them had porch lights or pole lights. It was the darkest section of our street. And I can remember, get myself together, and seeing that pole light and running to it. Now again, some of you may think you were odd, but maybe if you had fears like me, you know, that sense of I almost sense the darkness, you know, trying, you know, as I'm running to the light. Oh, light gives us direction. And I think about the words of Jesus in Matthew's gospel when Jesus says, yeah, I want you to see that and understand spiritually. That's what your life is supposed to be for lost people. In Matthew chapter 5, when he says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16 of Matthew 5, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's about us? No. I was touched looking at the bulletin today, and very kind and gracious. But if it's me, it's been a waste of years, you know, here serving. But it's him. When it's him, when we can come to the end of a moment, of part of the journey, of a day, of a life, and say, somewhere in there, somebody ran to Jesus because they saw his light in my life. Think about that. In your life, that somewhere somebody said, I'm seeing something in them. Don't be ashamed to show the light of Jesus. If you've come to faith in Christ, one of the first ways you're able to be baptized. We're going to be doing a baptism the last Sunday of October, you know, 4 weeks from now, right? The fifth Sunday fellowship, 10 o'clock service, and at the end we're doing a baptism. Be baptized. Let people see the light that, hey, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm his child. But in your life, just, Lord, let me not be ashamed to shine the light. Let someone come out of the darkness because the light in my life gave them direction. There's so many other areas we could look at, and I ran out of time just like I did at 9 o'clock, you know, the areas of what light can experience. But it's not just all the different things that light displays for us. It's also what the absence of light can do, getting our attention. And God did that in Luke chapter 23, when Jesus Christ was placed upon a cross and hanging there, being mocked, being tortured. What do we read happened in Luke chapter 23 and verse 44? It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured. And the veil of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. I want you to reach for one of the communion that might be right there nearby you. It should look like this, a little cup, and you're welcome to begin to take off the clear plastic and expose the little piece of bread. But I share that for God knew that the light of the world was about to be crucified for the sins of the world. And God said, I'm going to get your attention. And the way I'm going to get your attention is to show you that I can make it dark pretty quick. That if my light is removed, all you will have is darkness. This light of the world hanging on the cross, you need him. You need him. And that's what we identify with. We invite you, this isn't Baptist communion. This is a remembrance of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have come to faith in Jesus, join us in this. If you haven't, do it right now. Jesus, light of the world, I believe that you died for my sin and rose again. Light of the world, come light up my life, right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this moment. Lord, as we come to you, we come confessing our need of the light of the world. Jesus. All we like sheep have gone astray. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, as your children, we ask you right now, tear down our pride, tear down our strongholds. We want you to let your light shine into every crevice. Expose us. We want the freedom that comes with walking in the light. That night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take the bread. In the very same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."